You are now listening to Bigfoot and Beyond, featuring the OG Bad Boys of Bigfoot, the Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive of Squatchology, the Chip and Dale of Bigfoot, and I'm not talking about the cartoon. Please welcome your hosts, the Bigfoot celebrity couple, Biff Klobo, better known as Cliff Berrickman and James Bobo Pay.
Cliff.
Bobo, how are you doing, sir?
Good, brother. I know you've been busy as heck, so I appreciate you taking a little time to do the podcast.
Oh, this is one of my my islands that I like to retreat to. So thanks for arranging something this week. I know that with both of our schedules, it's been a little bit hard lately.
Yeah, but it's worth that we're taking some time off because we got the one and only, the marvelous, the talented, the beautiful, the wonderful, intelligent, interesting Connie Willis.
Connie Willis. Hey, Connie. Fantastic. Yeah, when you told me who he had lined up for this week, I was pretty excited, you know, because I've been on Coast to Coast with Connie a couple times, and it's always a pleasure. We've had some campfire time together over at Tom Powell's house, if I remember right, or yeah. Somewhere back then. Yeah, so she's not only a great person in the community, but also a good friend. So, Connie, thank you for setting aside some time and coming to hang out with us.
Well, thank you. And I think it was even a barbecue at your place.
Was it my house? I don't know. I get it confused. Yeah.
But I was with Tom. But then we all went to Tom's, and I think you were there too. I know Bobo was.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the guy. Oh my gosh, he'll kill me for this. Who ran off into the woods at one point? And anyway, you guys know all those people. They're all up there in the Pacific Northwest, where all that fun stuff is. And I'm actually in Colorado, where the Rockies are, and I've seen some really, really unbelievable stuff. So I hope you guys come down here. Well, you guys are coming down here, not like at the Sasquatch Outpost, right? Or something?
I will. Cliff's not going to make it this year.
I've got another engagement that same weekend, so I can't be in two places at once yet, but I'm working on it.
Now, if somebody does the same tattoo that you put on your body that's exactly like you, then somebody could. So what about Crypticon? That's in Kentucky, and I was just told that you guys are going to be there.
Yeah, Crypticon. Yeah, that's a great event. I think this is the third year running on that, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year. Bob's and I have been doing it the last couple of years, and they're getting more and more names on board as well.
Yeah, good. Awesome. It's my favorite con.
Yeah? Well, I hope to go there. I gotta figure out how to get to go to these things. People start telling me, well, you're on Coast. I didn't think we could afford you. I'm like, well, give it a shot, you know?
Go ahead,
you know,
and try.
This is how we make our living, right? Come on.
Yeah. I dare you to afford me.
Exactly. Four seasons, first class.
Well, yeah. Connie, I thought you were based out of Kentucky. Do I have that wrong, or is there a change in your life, or am I just making things up?
Yeah, some changes, and kind of roaming around. I was like, do I go to Seattle? Do I go to L.A.? Do I go to Colorado? Where do I go? You know, and I kind of flipped a coin, and I'm still kind of flipping coins. But I got to tell you, checking out the Rockies, it's amazing. And, you know, you got the San Luis Valley and you got all these really crazy, weird areas. But I have seen things full scale. We call it the scaling Bigfoot or the scaling Sasquatch because it was scaling the mountain. I saw a full body. I thought it was this big guy. And I was like, man, that's a big guy. It was like, no way could a big guy go up that fast, up the hill, full body, grabbing each one of the aspens or birch or whatever the one tree is. These trees are all still new to me, where they've got these spikes of the other wood coming out, to where you better have precision, especially going that fast, to grab those. Even if you have a big, big hand, it's going to hurt. And this thing just went, I saw full body going up, and it just went so fast. At one point it blurred because it went that fast, but it also, even as fast as it went and as high as the incline the degree of the incline, the head still looked like it was gliding. You could have put a book on there and it would not have fallen off. It's amazing. So, you know, when people do see these things gliding, they say it looked like it was gliding. It seemed to still be moving.
When did the sighting occur? Because I think you had seen one when I had spoken to you last.
Yeah. I've had experiences with them and MindSpeak. I know, I'm not sure you like are there with that yet, but we'll ask you about that. Okay. Well, once they start talking to you, it's just the way it is. It was probably 3 to 4 months ago. And then 2 months ago, this is the Rockies. Okay. I mean, and structures everywhere that, you know, they're really amazing. And by the way, the people that take me out are called Sasquatch Journey and also Jason Frank and Dennis Foll. You might know Dennis.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis took me out last time we went. We saw, this is amazing. Okay, so I was staying in their Jason Frank's vehicle, which was a truck. So I had a 360-degree, see it all happen in this very active spot. And I saw something, and I said this beforehand. And Bobo, you'll understand this because, you know, it's a little bit of that mind speak. I just put out there through my mind, I said, I don't want to see your eyes. I don't want to see your eyes because I knew they were there, right? Knew they were there. Very active area. These people go, they have a nice relationship. And I looked over at, it was almost like something, I don't know. I just woke up and looked over, and there it was in the window, this huge head, huge forehead, tussled hair and ears up where, you know, if you had a teddy bear, the ears were up where the teddy bears are and they were pointed. And I was like, oh my gosh, is that what I think it is? And I turned back around and turned back around again because it was in the middle of the night, and I saw it again. And I did that about 4 times and I said, okay, it is there. And I thought, I don't want to see the eyes. So I looked the other way. And then after a couple minutes or so, I looked back and it was gone. I could see the vehicle behind it. I mean, it took a large portion of this gigantic, you know, huge truck that Jason Frank had. And later when I talked to them about it, he said, oh, you saw Elvis. I said, what? He said, yeah, Elvis has the pointy ears. I never told you that. And I think it was more of a dog man, or what people call a dog man, because of the pointed ears. But that same night, I kid you not. I don't kid about this. This is real stuff. I've been chasing it for years, all sorts of things. And there were beams of light. Now, I've always wanted to see orbs, so I was hoping I would see orbs because that's what I thought. You know, I know that they've been seen in that area. So I saw the light, and it's a whole story. But when I kind of like wanted to pull myself up because I said, oh, my gosh, are these the lights I've always wanted to see? Are these the orbs? And I looked up, and it was a beam of light coming up. It was about 40 yards away, up top spruce trees. And they were beaming down. They had beamed on me in the truck. They had beamed on the tent to the right, the tent straight in front of me, about 20 yards up, and then a tent over to the left. And get this, it didn't move around like a helicopter where it'd have a spotlight on and it would zoom around left and right and all that to find you. No, it knew exactly where you were. It would beam itself on you and then turn it off like a light switch. And then it would beam on the next tent, and then it would turn off, and then it would, you know, make a move. And I did hear clank and clunks, and then it went on the next tent and just knew exactly where it was going to go. And this boop, just turned it on, bam, brightest light I've ever seen, and beautiful as well, a beautiful light. And it bent even.
What was the source of the light? You could see like an object and the light come out of the object, or the light – would the object not be there when the light turned off?
Well, it was dark up in the right. And so what I did not see what it was that was coming from it. It kind of blended in. It was like 2 to 3 spruce trees. And it was in, we had just had like a blizzard 2 nights before. It was still snow, even though in the Rockies there's snow, then it's sun, snow, sun. It's kind of crazy that way. But is it the aspen that it's all one big tree and it's all, you know, roots everywhere and all those like white,
aspens tend to become white. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe alder, but probably aspen out there.
Okay. So all these aspen and then spruce trees. So in that little clump of spruce trees there, it was at the very top. And so, you know how they kind of go out, that Christmas tree kind of look. So if it was a round saucer or whatever that vehicle was. It was enough to where it hid in there, and whatever came out, you know, whatever the shape was, just within the spruce trees themselves. But it was right at the top. But it was dark. It was maybe 3-4 in the morning or something like that. But I saw the lights, and it was crazy because one of the couples in the they had a nylon yellow tent. And it lit that thing up like crazy because like there's this, and they just met each other maybe 6 months ago. So I thought, oh, what are those crazy, what's that crazy couple doing in there with all the lights on? You know, I thought, ah, good for them. And it was so bright. And I actually thought one of them had a spotlight and they were shooting it out to see, you know, because they saw something up in the tree. That's what I thought at first. And then I looked, I said, no, it was coming from the trees. Oh, my gosh. And it was so bright and it bent. It hit the tent. It didn't bounce off. Like if I had a flashlight, it'd bounce off it. Right. It absorbed it. And the whole thing was lit up crazy. I don't know how they didn't wake up from it, but they didn't. But she had this. Like that organite kind of stuff, you know, when people make these organite things. Except, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I don't know what organite is.
Okay. It's like when people do a lot of energy work and chakra stuff and that kind of thing, or radionics they have. They make these things called some sort of organite type thing where you put a whole bunch of things together. And I don't know, it's crystals and different things like that that help with the energy. That's as far as I know. But when you make them, there's some things in there that could glow. And the next morning when I told them about the light and we were talking about the light, because Jim Myers of Sasquatch Outpost saw the light within the tent. And thank goodness he told me that because it triggered me to remember it, believe it or not. But she goes, oh, my gosh, that must be why my organite is glowing like it is. So all the light from that also made that glow. You know those glow-in-the-dark things we had as kids?
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a light on
now,
it.
Man.
I love those too. So anyways, crazy. And then the very next morning, the Sasquatch were just screaming. And I finally heard that scream where it sounds like a woman is, you know, getting raped kind of thing that everybody talks about. Well, we heard that, and it sounded like it was about 50 yards away. We were leaving, but I tell you, when I saw that and heard all that, all within probably 12 hours, I thought, is this missing 411? You know, especially with the beams of light, that was crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been some weird stuff's been going on around you.
Yeah, so that's why I'm doing this new show, and it's called On the Road with Connie, and I take you to the most active hotspots once a month to, you know, where all my friends are, and we keep them secret, but I do it virtual via live chat and live stream. So I am asking you guys to come at one point and be a part of the fun and take you. You guys can take me to your all's places and we can do that, but you can also cameo and have some fun at some of the places like what I just talked about. We can't camp out about 4 or 5 nights or whatever.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, for sure. The weirder, the better, you know?
I'm telling you, can you imagine that much in one night? And let me ask you guys, have you ever seen sparkles just kind of going off and on in the, you know how lightning bugs will do that in the woods?
Yeah, I know about lightning bugs, but you know, I think my sparkle experiences is rather limited, though, to be fair.
Oh, well, Dennis Cole never saw him either, and he saw him. He's like, yeah, I saw him. Once he pointed out to me, I saw him. But there's these little sparkles, very much like lightning bugs, except they're more like LED light that goes off and on. But we didn't know what that was. It was in certain areas, and I don't know. I don't know what that was, but it was pretty cool.
Sounds like some weird stuff's going out there in Colorado. Good for you.
Yeah. So you guys are invited, and that's exciting. So I wanted to, and it's membership. So people out there in the old Cliff and Bobo world, please sign up. It's called On the Road with Connie Project, or ontheroadwithconnie.com. I think that works too. And thanks you guys for letting me talk about that because it's fun. It's really fun. It's very interactive. Everybody gets involved, right? They tell me, Connie, move to the left. There's something over there. Go, you know. So it's very interactive. It's fun.
Yeah. You got the best spots to go of like Dogman, Bigfoot, UFO. Yeah. You know all the people.
Like I said, you guys, please come with me. It'll be great. And please take me to your stuff too. And let's constantly help each other along the way. It's collaboration, right? It's all about collaboration. Get you all on coast again. That's always fun.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I'd like to tell your listeners about the museum at some point in the next couple months. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, so do you know, so tell me how it might compare to Sasquatch Outpost, because I know that. Do you know Sasquatch Outpost?
I have not been out there yet. I've been trying to get out there for a while.
Film there, Cliff.
Yeah, but I don't think it was really up and running into the extent it is now. I think the guy's turned into a full-fledged museum with artifacts and statues and the whole deal, man. I don't think it was like that when we were there.
No, it wasn't.
Honestly, Connie, right now we're just kind of taking the first baby steps. You know, we're like the gift store and information center will open up on Friday, this coming Friday. Of course, you know, our listeners, by the time you guys hear this, it's already open. So come on down. And we're kind of labeling it as a sneak peek, but an ongoing sneak peek, because the exhibit hall is going to take another month or so to get off the ground and get fleshed out and everything. But we're open, man. I'm there pretty – I don't get a day off between now and when we go to winter hours. I'm there every single day, or I'm on the road working, you know, doing my appearances every single day between now and September or October. So people can come on by and check out what we've got going. And, you know, and by the time September, October runs around, the full exhibit hall should be up and running. It's going to be great.
And where is it?
It's actually between Portland, Oregon and Mount Hood on Highway 26, which is like the main thoroughfare to get from Portland to Mount Hood. And we're right at the Boring exit. There's a little town out here called Boring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, for real. No, it is. Yeah.
I thought it was Boring. Okay.
No, not at all, actually. It's a lovely little town. But we will be the most exciting thing in Boring by far. So
you got to play with that in some way. You got to definitely do that. Besides you two being in Wax, you should also have Bob Gimlin in Wax with you guys. That would be awesome.
Well, I think that Bobo, Bob, and I should just go get waxed. Wouldn't that be better? We could do that for your live stream.
That would do it. Though, put me over the top. I love it. Let's do it. Okay, we're doing it, everybody. We're doing it.
Because you know I am opening up a Bigfoot museum, but really I was thinking about doing one of those Hollywood wax museums until I realized that those are kind of the thing of the past. And then my next thought was, well, why should do a, I should do a Brazilian wax museum.
Oh, man.
But I decided to go Bigfoot.
Forget the wax totally and just go for the blow-up doll of each of you. How's that?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yuck. That would be horrible. Do not.
Yeah, or take a Bigfoot and you just go to a beauty salon and get all their waxed hair pulled out of
it. Oh!
Make your Bigfoot out of that hair.
That's nasty.
I knew this was going to be a dark episode when I
signed up for this.
So, Connie, when you saw the Bigfoot run up the mountain, what was the lighting conditions and what was the distance?
Well, the crazy thing about it was, and sorry, Cliff, you got to hear this. Okay,
I'm not afraid, Connie.
He's not afraid. Okay, all right. Okay, so. You know, I was with Sasquatch Journey, and we were on one side of the mountain, and we'd seen a lot of their structures, and they had seen what they believe was one peeking out at them when we were at a certain area. And so we ended up having lunch and then scaling up the other side ourselves. And it was the incline was crazy. I mean, I was grabbing a tree to pull myself up and the next tree. And that's why I knew all these spiky things were coming out, big ones. It's like, oh my gosh, that's got to watch it and pull myself up. I remember it being pretty hot, because some of that could have just been me climbing up that incline. But I remember thinking, I'd seen a lot of structures. I've seen a lot of things that, you know, are these or are they not? And I just said in my mind, I thought, you know what? When they talked to me before, I had talked to them back. So I said, okay, I've seen enough structures. They're great. They're wonderful. But hey, you know my intentions. We're here to see you. So can you show yourself? Can you run by? Can I see you? I think I even said full body, but I said, you know, check me out. I've been around. Some of your other buddies have seen me kind of thing. You know, I kind of did that. And then we started walking, and Sasquatch Journey is Tony and Ingrid Durant. And they were above me. They're a married couple. They were kind of above me. And Tony had the video camera. And if I would have had a GoPro on my chest or head. Possibly I would have if it was on, and that is allowed. You know how some people say, no, they'd never let you catch them. But if I had that on, I'm pretty sure I would have got an excellent shot. But I looked and I just saw some big dark guy, you know, it was two arms, two legs, head, body, everything, like running up kind of toward me and then slowed down, stopped, caught itself. And then, you know, parallel coming toward me as I was going parallel to the top of the mountain. And then it turned to the right and it was almost like it was performing for me. And it started walking up as if, here you go, watch me. And it just started walking up. And I had said to Tony, and this is kind of strange, because I said, Tony, and I was pointing over for him to shoot over that way. I was like, you know, normally if I point to a direction and he's shooting and I'm not, because I use an iPad Pro and I had to put it up so I could climb it. He looked at me and he goes, huh, what, huh? And normally he just points the camera right over where I point. And I said, look, I said, there, that's either a big guy or it's what we're here to see. And it was, you don't believe it when you're seeing it, right? Because it just looks like a big guy. But then when it started running up and then it took one hand and grabbed a tree and pulled itself and another one and grabbed, you know, took his other arm and grabbed a tree and went up and just pulled itself, boom, boom, and its legs were going. And then you saw a blur because it was that fast and the head never moved. And I was just in awe, just kind of a shock and awe looking and going, oh. I think that might be what we're here to see. You know, I'm like, and I didn't yell out like, hey, or anything like that. I just watched this thing and it looked like it had a purpose running up. I'll never forget it now because there's, you know, when we were talking afterwards about it, they said, there's no man that huge that could pull itself up and go that fast. You can't even go that fast. And I thought, you know, you're right. And you just don't get it at first because it's so human. It's so human. And it's, you can tell the precision, you can tell the coordination, and you just don't expect that, right? You think you might find a lunky old clunky old bear, or you think you might, you know, see something on all fours. You never think, you just don't. Even when you're out looking for it, it still amazes me, at least. And we all took off to the top, and it was hard to go up to the top. We were pulling ourselves up and we were trying to get up there quickly to see if we could catch it. And Tony was running ahead, so far ahead that his wife, she took off after him and I was down by myself. I thought, wait, let me get up there with you guys. And we didn't see anything after that. Nothing. And if there was a guy there, we would have seen the guy. There's nowhere he would have went. We all went to the same place. So I don't know where this thing went.
How far away do you think this thing was from you? Like when you were getting your best view, this sounds like you saw it for a little while.
I did.
So how far away? A football field? I mean, what do you think?
Oh no. I got to think in golf terms. So
golf, sure.
Let me
go
put it in yards.
Yeah, yards would be great. Yeah, well, see, I understand that.
What stick would I use for this? That's how I have to do
a pool cue.
let me think. I would think 50 yards maybe or less.
Oh, that's close. That's really close.
Yeah. Yep. And Ingrid saw a part of it. Tony didn't see any of it, but you know, we're not out there to kid each other or joke around. And we, you know, looked for a man as well. It was, nobody could go that fast. You know, again, you have to process it and just be like, oh my gosh. I saw, now I know, like Superman when they say faster than a speeding bullet. Well, that's freaking Sasquatch. I couldn't believe it. It was cool. And the head, you could have put a book on it. It would not have moved. It's amazing. So have you guys seen that? Have you seen one scaling or have you seen the full body moving like that fast?
No.
I saw a full body walking for about 8 or 10 seconds, but it was on the thermal imager. It was at night. Night about, I'm guessing 70 yards or something. I don't know. Bubba saw the same one.
Creepy.
Was a Bigfoot. I wouldn't say creepy. I was, at that point, I was too paranoid about, like, I thought it was, I knew it was a person or a Bigfoot, one of those two things. And I'm still not 100% sure which one it was, but I'm strongly inclined to think it was a Sasquatch between the way it was moving and everything like that. But at that point, I was just trying to sort out, like, what is it I'm actually looking at? And also, that was on the show, and it might, like, there was a camera on my face, in my face, and I didn't want to say anything too outrageous. And that was first season when I was kind of paranoid about the production company screwing us over during edit or something. So I was real careful about what I said out loud. But I remember the confusion, even though we were there looking for one and possibly seeing one, just like, well, what in the, you know, what in the world is that? And yeah, that's my take on it. But it wasn't moving real fast.
But also we were cautious because we caught one of the producers trying to fool us just before Nebraska.
That's terrible. Why? Yeah, what was that all about? That is so wrong.
Well, you know what that was, is that they mistakenly hired real Bigfooters who care about the subject, you know, instead of actors like the vast majority of these other, you know, paranormal-esque shows hire. You know, most of those guys are actors at the end of the day, you know, and they just took a gig, you know, yelling at walls because looking for ghosts or whatever they're doing. They hired real Bigfooters, and we wouldn't participate in their shenanigans, you know, that we wouldn't play game. And I think that they were astounded that they had guys that, like, what do you mean? Like, you don't want to be on TV? You're not going to play ball with us? No, we're here to look for Bigfoot. And I think that kind of took them by surprise.
And you know what? That's my past. My past is broadcasting, television and radio broadcasting. This is my passion, all these things that are not supposed to be and how do they connect. And, you know, I try to figure all that stuff out. And I've always just been led to that. So it's great to be able to put the two together. But in my journey of trying to pitch shows, and when I decided to pitch shows in my love, which would be this type of genre, that's when, you know, they knew I had done this work in the past and I could do it. You know, I could be the one that could stand there and go, hey, we're, you know, here's car racing, blah, 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 blah. Here's this, blah, 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 you know, whatever the topic was. But when it came to this, they may have loved me to go, oh, great, she's a pro at it and she knows it. But I wasn't going to go, no. You know, I was the one like you guys. No, you can't fake that. Don't fake that. What are you doing? It's already crazy enough. You don't need to add something to this. It's a mystery. You know, this is how you do it, or this is how you don't do it. And so they didn't like that. They didn't like that about me. So it's been very hard for me to have any of these types of shows because I'm like you guys. I'm, you know, don't fake it. Why would you do that? You know, they don't know how crazy it is and how real it is. And that's the thing. They don't think it's real. And I hate when they take the story and they take it to the left when it definitely needs to go, you know, to the right in the content and in the storyline. And, you know, you just know immediately when these shows are faked like that. And it just bothers me. Now, like, I like what is it? What are the guys, the mountain monster dudes?
Oh, yeah.
They're funny. Okay. We know it's a joke, but a lot of people don't.
A lot.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I did a gig with those guys out in Pennsylvania not too long ago in June, I think it was.
Still around.
They were in the – yeah, they've got a new season coming out, you know, in the next couple of months, I guess. But they were in the booth next to me, and I was thinking, yeah, these guys are actors or whatever. But, you know, after I talked to them, I'm not so sure they're acting. I'm really not so sure.
Right.
They might actually believe all this stuff that's going on. They're really good, solid guys. And I was talking to them about Bigfoots. Hey, you know, they're all in the weird stuff, portals and all this stuff that I'm not really into, but like, I don't care. But I'd never seen one of their shows, but after I hung out with them, like I love those guys. They're funny.
Cool.
They're hilarious. They take time with all their fans and the children, and like, they're really nice guys. Yeah. And so afterwards I came home and I started, I got to see some of this. And at first I was going, well, this is clearly a direct parody of our show, Finding Bigfoot. But it's a parody. But I was thinking about my interactions with the gentleman, and I was thinking, I'm not so sure they're acting. They might actually buy this. I don't know.
Well,
it's
that's
hard
the
to
personality,
say.
Right? That they are just being themselves. You know,
yeah,
they
definitely.
What was it? I think it was Larry. Curb Your Enthusiasm. You ever see that on HBO?
Larry. Oh, yeah.
Larry
David.
Larry David, right? Okay. Do you know what we're talking about, Cliff?
Yeah, yeah. My wife watches that show. So I don't watch that show because it stresses me out.
Oh, well, you might like this part of it because the structure of the show. Now, I don't know if they changed it. I know it's over now, but they would go, okay, in this scene, we need to go from A to a B. In the next scene, we need to go from, you know, this to that. So they would let them ad lib and get there on their own. So that's what's really special about that show, right? You got all these ad-lib comedians, and they'd go, hey, this is how it starts. This is where we need it to go so that the next scene we can go from here to here. So they'd let them ad-lib. And it was fun. You never knew what was going to happen. Either did they. So I wonder if, the, you know, the mountain guys there, the mountain monsters, right? Is it mountain monsters?
Mountain monsters, yeah.
Yeah. That maybe they did the same thing because you could tell. Yeah, you could tell that was totally their personalities. It was fun to watch. But that one guy, the head guy, was really sick at one point. So what, I guess he was there?
No, Trapper, I think, is probably here talking. He's the one guy that wasn't there. So maybe he was still feeling down or something. I don't know what it was, but I got to meet all the rest of them.
They're great. Yeah, they're actors, but I think they really enjoy what they're doing because they're good old boys for sure.
Hey, aren't they going to be at CryptidCon too?
Oh, yeah, they're all – I don't know if the one guy's going to be there, but the rest of them are going to be there for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Man, I want to go.
Yeah. Today you're not Kentucky, you can be my date.
Well, now, tell me how that works, though, okay? Because I pick
up for dinner at 7. And then you go.
I like Camus Special Select 2001, and that's it. That's the only thing you can get. that's a Cabernet.
I hope you bring your running shoes when we're done.
Okay, because I haven't done a lot of these speaking things. It's so funny. People always say, well, I didn't know you did them. What? Well, you know, I guess people don't know that, but that is what we do. If you're doing radio or you're doing TV, that's kind of your other gig is you go to appearances and you speak or you do what you do at CryptidCon, right? That's what you do. It's kind of part of it. So hopefully I'll get some of those because I think that's just fun. I'm so used to that. I'm just used to doing that. But CryptidCon is kind of different than going to a conference, right, and speaking or emceeing or anything, right? Is that where you – do you still do that or what?
Yeah, we speak at it, and you have a merch booth, and then you're at the merch booth all day, and then like your hour or whatever, you go talk. But other than that, you're just sitting at your booth taking pictures, signing stuff, selling whatever your merch is. But you should get in on that. You could get into the bigger paranormal conferences. Like the Bigfoot ones are – the least lucrative of all of them. It's those ghost and zombie ones. Like you'd be big enough to get on those big ones like that where they pay a lot of money.
Well, tell them about me. Bring it on. Then I'll say, well, I got to go with my boys over here. They got to go too.
Well, you know, in a couple of weeks from now, I'm going to be up in the UP of Michigan. Actually, I'm going to do the UP of Michigan twice in August, next weekend. And then I'm back in Oregon the following weekend, I'm at the Michigan Paracon. And the way in the upper tips, Sault Ste. Marie or something like that. I can't remember the little town up there. And man, that is a fun gig. And because I'm not a big paranormal kind of guy, you know. I mean, I kind of focus my studies on, you know, the Sasquatch thing and from a biological perspective. But man, what a fun gig that is, like hobnobbing with all the UFO folks and ghost people and stuff. And last time I was there, Bubba, you were there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see all that stuff that happened in the parking lot when 175 people stood in a circle facing this one lady in the middle with their arms outstretched, like singing UFOs down from the sky?
Dude, I missed it.
Oh, man, that was amazing. I've never seen such a spectacle. It was awesome. I don't know. You have to ask them, I suppose. I didn't see anything, but I was standing around kind of just observing the whole thing. And, you know, but man, that was fun. What a fun gig that is, because all the weirdness in the air, it's electric.
It is fun, you know, and we're all together, you know, too. So it feels good when that does happen, that everybody of like mind is in those situations. So you're saying that one is the ghost people, the UFO people, the psychics and mediums and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah. I saw a bunch of people that claimed to be psychic mediums, but I mean, in my opinion, I think they might have been psychic larges.
Psychic larges. So pretty much everybody. Now, I found out when I first met you at your house, and we were doing barbecue, which was good, by the way. And you and I were talking, and you said, Connie, I don't know if you remember this, but I was having a ball talking with you, and you said, Connie, you're not going to like me. When you get to know me, you're not going to like me. Do you remember saying that?
No, I don't doubt. I still hold that opinion. Yeah, it's kind of a self-loathing thing I got going. But
I like you right now, so don't ruin the moment.
Well, you know, I mean, really, because I am so skeptical. I mean, people don't see me as such, you know, because, you know, I'm this Bigfoot guy, and they think that, you know, we're empty-headed and all that jazz, you know, like so open-minded our brains fell out, right?
Those are idiots. No, well, we're not empty-headed, right, they do. Yeah,
people view me as such. But, like, then when they find out, like, what? Like, you don't believe this and this and this and this and this, and all I have to say is, like, I'm not convinced. It's really hard to convince me of very much because I'm so stubborn, and, you know, I think I'm right all the time. And, like, you know, it's like a combination of this self-styled arrogance and just I need to be convinced by the evidence, not somebody's story, because I don't put a lot of faith in other people's observational skills or communication skills to communicate what they observe to me. I find that the vast majority of people in any sort of strange field, paranormal, Bigfoot, whatever, don't even understand the differences between observations and interpretations at a very basic level. And so it takes a lot to convince me of anything weird. You know, which is why I've really grabbed onto the Bigfoot thing, because you know what? It convinced me a long time ago. But the other stuff, I'm wide open. I mean, a lot's happened to me since then. I saw a UFO many, many, many years ago. I saw one like 2 weeks ago. I thought it was, I mean, Tom Powell was over actually. We're at, I don't live there anymore, Connie. I've moved out to the woods. So we're having a fire out in the woods. And a big bright satellite was going by, and it was bright enough. I thought it was the International Space Station, right? Because it cruises by, and you know, you can look online when it's going to pass over your city. And you know, I've seen it a bunch of times. I'm kind of a amateur astronomer, so I'm very aware of those things. And I just thought it was the International Space Station. But the weirdest thing happened. It was coming over, and as it was crossing, I was crossing Cassiopeia, the constellation, and then suddenly it changed directions very slowly, and then started heading. It was traveling from west to east, and then at some point it slowly changed directions and started traveling directly north. Wow. And it wasn't a satellite. They don't do that. The International Space Station doesn't do that.
That's right.
It wasn't a plane. And so I saw one of these just a few weeks ago. I don't know what it was. I'm not even guessing what it was. But so UFO fits the description, you know. Since that time I saw you last, I saw a full body apparition that scared the piss out of me.
Where was that? Where was that?
In that house you came to. It was gross.
I didn't like it a bit.
You know what? It turns out my wife, I've been married since I met you too, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. She's the center point of my life, and I love her more than anything. It turns out that it was the same day her grandmother died. So I think her grandma was coming by to check out, like, who's this guy that's like hanging out with my granddaughter? I don't know, but it was horrifying. I didn't like it a bit. But do I know what that is? No. Do I care? Not really, man. I'm a Bigfoot guy. You know, I know things are real, but man, it sure takes me a lot to be convinced of anybody else's perspective on any of this weird stuff.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, that's why I like to go out and do it myself. You know, I'll listen to people and I'm not denying them or anything like that. I'll put it in the back of my head. And when people say, oh, you know, this kind of thing, you know, maybe I'll see that kind of thing. But I try to keep it in the back of my head and listen to everybody and be prepared along the way. But I have to go out and see it for myself as well. It's not that I don't believe them at all, but I also like to look up. Most people don't even look up in the sky. They want to see these things, but they don't look up and they don't go out in the woods. It's, you know, they're on their phone the whole time. You know, go out. They're there. You got to go out there and see it. But I like to pull all the pieces of the puzzle.
That's not true, Connie. Connie, you could stay at home and sign up for your service and go along.
That's right. You can go on the road with Connie and check out my project. That's right. And you can see it in the comfort of your own home and your little jammies while I'm going, scared out of my mind. So, but I like to pull together, you know, you think about it with ghosts. In the ghost world, and some people, that's all they do is stay in the ghost world. And that's one of the reasons I don't like the word paranormal, because usually it's just ghosts, mediums, clairvoyance, that kind of thing, psychics, all that kind of stuff. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with it. But when they put to me, UFO and Bigfoot into that, it's like, no, it's that's outside of that. But when you talk to those people, they actually do talk about little orbs and little sparks of light. And then you also hear that in the Bigfoot world. You also hear that in the UFO world. All the little worlds got these little sparkles and these little orbs. And I find that pretty interesting that it's in all of them across the board. And all these things, they're there, then they're gone, you know. So I don't know if interdimensions are anything to do with that or not. I don't even know what an interdimension would really totally be. And maybe you can explain that. But
no, thank you so much for saying that, by the way, because I hear people tossing around the interdimensional words a lot with Bigfoot or any number of strange phenomenon. But as far as I can tell, none of them really understand what that even means, because I sure as hell don't, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to, you know, say some fancy words and ascribe something to that, you know, but really, I mean, thank you for saying that, like, you know, that you really don't even understand what that means, because I don't think really anybody does. And if the only people who do on any level are these people who crunch numbers, because it's all mathematical. And what does that mean for reality, though? Because you could describe, you know, the color red with mathematics as well, but it doesn't describe the color red very well to a child.
It's true.
You know? Yeah, so it just kind of turns my stomach when people say, well, that's a little strong, I will say. I just roll my eyes, or that's like less. I roll my eyes at people who say that these interdimensional whatevers. Who knows? What the hell does that even mean? Explain that to me, then maybe I can agree with you. But it's easy to explain one unknown with another, but it doesn't get you very far.
Well, you were saying, too, that it's hard to, you know, some people cannot communicate it. I know myself that I've seen some of, you know, the things that I've seen, it's, you can't put it into words sometimes. It's outside of our words.
There are many, many things in this universe that cannot be effectively Englished or Spanished or
Englished.
Anything.
Like, Englished.
Yeah. There are so many things. Yeah. And it's just English doesn't apply well.
Yeah.
No language would really apply well, I think. I'm just biased because I happen to speak English better than anything else.
I noticed when talking to witnesses too, is that, and I'm the same way, we can't, like, Cliff has a musical background. I've noticed a lot of people have, they can kind of explain what they saw, but the vocalizations they heard, they'll be like, it was loud, it was deep. You know, it's like they can't put it into the proper terminology what they heard.
Yeah.
So different, you know, it's just.
And that's the thing, you know, because like I mentioned earlier, sometimes I'm disappointed that people don't understand the difference between observations and interpretations, you know, and I get it all the time, and that's okay. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, practice and being aware of such things.
What's the difference?
For example, I've spoken to some people who say we were there at camp and I started hearing the juvenile sneaking down the hill, and then his mother was up on top knocking back to it, trying to get it back up there. The juvenile came down. It was curious about our tent pole, so it started shaking the tent. And then I heard it run away because it was scared.
How do they know all that? Wow.
Well, that's just
exactly.
It. That's just it. Yeah, but what? That's an interpretation of some sounds that this person heard. In reality, they heard something on the hill. It was quiet.
There's on the hill.
Yeah, there's something on the hill.
It
comes down. It the tent shook. They heard something else on the hill, and they thought they heard something move away from the tent. Those are observations. All that other stuff heaped on top is an interpretation.
Yeah.
And as soon as people start laying down, it was a male, it was a female, it was this, it was like these. And look, did you see its junk? Other than that, you don't know.
was it jumping around when it was scaling up the mountain?
Exactly.
I didn't see that, by the way.
Well, you kept saying you saw full body. I was wondering if it was full frontal.
Yeah, but, I never saw anything else hanging or dangling or anything, you know. So.
Right. But, you know, so that's an example of observation versus interpretation. And then when you add on top of that the many different layers of filters that are in between that observation and what you get to learn about it, because those filters are not limited to but subject to how good of an observer the witness is, how good of a command of the English language they have, or any language that they have, so to convey their experience to you. And then the filters go on you. How good are you at interpreting what they saw and then forming your own ideas about it. And those are just three or four basic filters that are between you and that experience. And there are probably dozens of others, like cultural filters. And there's other filters as well about that skew the perception of that person and you and your interpretation of the events as well. So eyewitness observations are shaky at best. And that doesn't mean they're lying or anything like that, but man, you can't put a whole lot of weight onto them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I just went through that last week. I went up, these guys had me rush up there, you know, tell me, oh, you got to get up here. They're here right now. And then it was exactly the guy said he was hearing it retreat up the wood, up the hill. And I was looking at a Fisher cat. At one point I saw two rats jumping around. I don't know what they were doing, like fighting or playing. But he was making rustling sounds, and he could definitely hear the big male retreating up the hill. And then later on, I was looking at a Fisher cat chasing a rat going, you know, kind of fast. He goes, oh, that's the other one coming down now from the other side. That one hangs out there. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, you know, if I wasn't there, I would have just probably, you know, listened to his story and go, well, that was pretty good. You know, you had all this stuff going on, but it was all just his interpretation of these noises. And I don't think he was correct.
Well, that's where Dennis Fall was telling me some stories. Just this past weekend, right? They had an expedition. So that's Moneymaker's thing, right?
Yeah.
So he had said that, you know, we were all talking about around the campfire last time we were up together up there. And he was talking with some other guy that went to one of those expeditions and said that the couple that went there, they had to leave because they kept hearing all this stuff and they were on the walkie and they were like, it's right next to us, right next to it. And I don't want to, just in case that person ever hears, I'm not making fun of you at all. This happens all the time. It happens with people all the time, especially when you're going for the first time and you hear all these things and you've always wanted to, and people are still, you know, you're actually there in the middle of the freaking Rockies or wherever you are. You know, it's scary. It's scary. It creeps me out. But, apparently, you know, he was on the walkie. Yeah, that's right. You're right next to us, right next to us, right next to the tent. You know, come help us. Come help us. And it was a squirrel. You know, they had found the squirrel. And, you know, they had left because they were freaked out enough. And just hearing the stories alone and being in the, you know, being in the Rockies, in the wilderness right there, it is freaky. And your mind does play tricks on you like that. That's kind of why, by the way, I like to go in the day. I mean, it's great at night too. Don't get me wrong. And they come up to you and all that kind of, but they, you know, in the day too, that's when you can actually see one in the daylight. So sure. I like that. And not with thermal or anything, you know, and not imagining it's something bigger than it is. Because let me tell you, when that scaling freaking full-size body went up the mountain, there was a little like a twig sound. Now, I've heard one before out in Alabama where I knew what, you know, some big heavy bipedal was just walking, you know, slowly in the woods like it was whistling, you know, dun, 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 dun. And then when it heard us, it stopped. But you heard snap, crack, pop when it stepped on logs, right? This thing was running up. And as it was running, I heard maybe a twig at one point pop. But that's it. So, you know, even big full size like that, there wasn't a lot of noise.
The big ones sound small a lot of times, and raccoons sound like giant bears or Bigfoot.
It's true.
Yeah, and I think they have a certain element in most circumstances, they have an element of control over how much sound they're making, because sometimes they want to scare you real bad and they make a ton of sound. Sometimes they don't want you to know that they're there at all and they don't make anything. So
it's amazing. They're just amazing creatures. You were talking about interpretation. Okay. So I am a advanced remote viewer, which doesn't mean much. I don't practice, but I did get the certificate. But that is the psychic spies. Are you familiar with the military remote viewers, right? Okay. And Cliff, you are?
Yeah, I've heard about such things. Right.
Okay. Well, you'll love this because the difference between the psychic spy, the military remote viewer, and a psychic is that they have a lot of interpretation, whereas a remote viewer, you write down only what you get, only your perceptions, and then you just write at the end a summary that says it was hot in a hot, rocky area where there was really bumpy looking like roads, whatever. It's more of it's just facts. It's more nouns. And you kind of put that together where a psychic will pull it, you know, connect the dots. And you don't know what that interpretation that she's got coming your way that you're going to believe in and follow your life, you know, into the future with what they just gave you. So that's a big interpretation kind of thing that, you know, can change people's lives for good, for better or worse, actually.
Well, yeah, I think psychics in general are vague enough, like horoscopes, for example. They're vague enough that it's up to the person to find individual meaning within it. And some people gravitate towards people who kind of give you symbolic things, or horoscopes that do the same thing, or, you know, tea leaves, you know, tossing those things around, and, or tarot cards, or any number of things. But at least that people are interpreting things for their own meaning. As opposed to telling other people what actually happened, you know?
Right. And remote viewing is different also because you can verify it. Like when we were down in, I might have told you about this when I was on the show on Coast to Coast, Connie, but I was in Australia, we went down there to go film, and I got there a week and a half before the rest of the crew. And I was hanging out with these Aboriginals, and this guy, there's 1,080 Aboriginal tribes throughout all of Australia. And they break them up into 10 regions. So there's like 108 tribes per region. So there's like 10 zones of 100 tribes each, basically. And they all have a clever fellow. And a clever fellow is like a medicine man. And so there's a count. So those 100 tribes elect, all the clever fellows elect one clever fellow to represent their area, the council, the national council of 10. So they're like the bishops, I guess, or the cardinals. And they get together. And then, so then there's 10 guys represent the whole continent. Then out of those 10, there's one leader, like the Pope or Dalai Lama, whatever. And this guy I was hanging out with was in training to replace that guy. He'd been training for 20 years because, you know, he got picked out as a teenager because he had the it factor, whatever. Like he was strong with the force, whatever you want to say. Aboriginals would call him from all over the country saying,
wow,
hey, I'm going to go on a walkabout and I'm thinking of walking to such and such springs out in the outback somewhere, and you know, if they get there, there's no water, they're dead. So they'd call him and he'd remote view and tell them if there was water there. And I saw that guy do that at least 3 or 4 times. I also saw a bird flew in the window one day. They lived on the beach. They were saltwater Aboriginals. They were ocean Aboriginals, not like the interior ones. But anyways, this little bird landed on the windowsill, chirped at him, and he goes, all right, and no one said anything. He just goes, it's time. And everyone went out, and they grabbed this big net, and here comes this whole pod of dolphins herding this giant school of fish. They waded out into the surf line with the net, and the dolphins scooped in, like blocked them in, and like barricaded them into the net, and then the dolphins swam through and ate for a bit. Then we closed up the net and pulled it back out, and that's how – and they worked, you know, symbiotically like that. But the bird told him that this guy was like totally in touch with nature, like, and remote viewing. And he was, you know, he was like just a real life Jedi.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have full confidence that there are people capable of doing the remote viewing. The psychics, I'm not so, you know, too hot on them, but the remote viewing, I think is, you know, it's provable.
Yeah. It's, and you can do it. Anybody can do it. You can do it within the first 5 minutes. Joe McMonagle, the one that's 001, everybody gets a number, and his happened to be 001, even though, all of them that were in the actual military will agree that he is the best of the best of them. However, all of them will say now people nowadays are way advanced more than any of those guys. But I was taught under Lynn Buchanan and also Lori Williams, who she had learned from Lynn. And if within 5 minutes you can do it, and you'll be amazed. And really from there, they just teach you different tools and different things to do and what to expect. And when when something happens that you do that they say may happen, you'll know how to react from there and know how to go from there. And it's really a martial art And the more you practice, the more you practice, the more you practice, the better you get. And you're just amazed at what they can do. And at one point, you can actually bilocate to the location where you feel it, and you can jump on the back of a car, and you can ride down the street, and you can read the street signs. And if you remember them, you can write that down. You go back to that place, and you'll see the same thing. It was amazing one of the times, and it was cool because they were actually videotaping this class with Lynn, and he had asked to monitor me. So he gave me a target, and the cameras were on. So I was like, this is the time I'm going to totally fail, right? You know, it's like, no, don't do this. But they did. And the target, I was given the target, and Lynn was monitoring me. And let me tell you, that's an honor, because these are the guys. These are the psychic spies. These are the guys that broke it all. And so they're filming this, and here's a target. And basically, you know, there's like a picture and a piece of paper or something like that, and it's pulled out of 100 envelopes and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, everybody's blind to it. And I think he was even blind to this. I think it was a double blind, but he starts asking me questions before I even started the work. It's all on paper. Okay. It's all, you write it on paper. And if you're lucky enough to get a monitor, and I did with Lynn, then that's even cooler, because they can kind of keep you going where you don't get too tired. But, he was telling me, you know, get going, start writing on the paper. And I looked at him and I stopped and I went down for my bag on the floor, and he was like, what are you doing? And I said, you know, and I hesitated. And I said, I'm sorry, I have to do this. He goes, what are you doing? Because I'm thinking, oh, no, the cameras are on. He's mad at me. Why am I reaching for my bag? I got to reach for my bag. And I said, I need some chapstick. I'm sorry, my lips are burning. I am so sorry. Edit this, whatever. And he looked at me. And I just looked at him like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lynn, I'm screwing up your show. And I just put that chapstick on, and I put the bag down. He goes, are you ready now? I'm like, well, it still burns, but yeah, I'm not feeling all that comfortable. So we started doing the session, and bottom line, it was, I was right there in the midst of Chernobyl.
Whoa.
That was freaking burning. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something? And he was watching me. He was like, what are you doing? He knew. So I don't know that it was a double blind or if he also saw it, because these guys are so good. They don't need to write it down anymore. They see things instantly too. Hmm. It was unreal.
Can you get hurt remote viewing? Like, if you know what I mean? Like you said, you're supposed to jump on the back of a car.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, as students, you ask as many questions as you can when you're with these guys and any of the teachers, male or female. But I know at one point a bunch of us were thinking that they were able to go to an area, any location, and grab what they wanted and bring it back, whether it was a different time or you know, anything. No one ever said yes to that, but the same group of people that where we wondered about it, we were doing the lottery. We're trying to guess the lottery, and this particular group, I was actually writing something over in the hotel room. They were over there trying to pull the balls of the lottery balls. So they were actually trying to pull the balls and then look at the number. That was their technique on this. But they had actually said at one point, and all of them saw it. They all freaked out. I remember when they freaked out, but they said they had seen the weight of a ball, which I guess wasn't a ping pong type ball, but they had saw the weight on the person's hand, on the palm of the hand. They saw it go down, and they all freaked out at the same time because they all saw it. They were like, ah! And so that's the same group of people that we all started wondering, okay, we think that they can go into present, past, future, wherever, grab something and bring it back with them. But when you ask them, they will also tell you, these psychic spies, at least the ones I've been with, they said, look, we can only tell you so much. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But it is kind of freaky.
Well, I talked to a guy that went through that, you know, was involved in that kind of stuff in the psyops, whatever, you know, the secret stuff. And he told me that there was only two guys that they had that were really, really could just nail it every time, that kind of stuff.
Was it the psychic spies or regular people?
Psychic spies.
So was Joe McMonagle was one of them, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know the names.
Oh, okay.
There was, he said there was two of them that they could count on, like, consistently, like, all the time.
Wow. It's amazing. The very first time I saw Lynn do it, I couldn't believe it. Like me, you know, they might, you know, as you're first learning, you know, it's a church. It's an old schoolhouse. You know, I was in Finland back in the 30s or something at one point. I could tell you in the picture where I stood. I mean, it's amazing. It'll freak you out. It'll change your life because, by the way, we can all do it. But when I saw Lynn doing it, he was just on the board doing these things so he could show us it. And, of course, he always has this fear of failure. So he's always nervous. He calls it a dog and pony trick. He hates to do it. However, when, you know, he drew all this stuff, and then we saw the target afterwards, which was a picture somebody just ripped out of a magazine kind of thing. But it was a bunch of nuns ice skating on an outdoor ice skating rink. And he had basically drawn that, and he drew, you know, he had where the ice blades were on the ice and the curvature of, you know, how they ice skated. He talked about how there was religion behind it. There was a strong belief with these women, you know, and they were women. And all that without even seeing this picture. And he had their thoughts, what they were thinking about tomorrow, what they, you know, he could have went back and thought what they were thinking about 5 days ago, whatever. It's amazing. It's amazing. And let me tell you, I mean, Bobo, I think, you know enough about it. Cliff, I don't know how much you know about it, but I know as skeptical as you are, you guys end up, from according to Lynn, you know, a lot of times it's hard to teach people like you is what he said. However, once you let go and let it happen, he said, you're totally amazed. But usually the psychic spy people, remote viewers are usually a little bit more educated is what they say, that pick up on that and stick with it because it is a martial art of the mind, and it's very specific, and there is no pollution in between. They do everything to get rid of that and make it impartial.
Right.
So, and you know what that is, don't you? Do you know what the psychic, you know what it is? It's your conscious and your subconscious do not talk to each other, and basically they teach you how to get them to communicate together. That's all that is.
That's all it is, huh?
That's it. So you can do
it. No outside force?
No outside force, man. It's just the force is within you, baby.
Well, you know, I have a question for you, Connie, and it's not about remote viewing, so I'm going to change paragraphs here. Being on Coast to Coast, you've spoken to a lot of people about a lot of weird stuff over the years. You know, you're into a lot of weird stuff, and, you know, so am I. I love weird stuff in general. That's why Bobo's one of my best friends. Like, I just love the whole thing, right? But so many bizarre things cross your desk. I have a question. Are there things out there in this weird universe that you find yourself in that, number one, you're not sold on, like you're going, I don't know about that one, and number two, that you think is complete nonsense?
Well, you know, when I I grew up in a haunted house, so that's how it all started.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So – and that opens you up. You know something's there. You can't see it. You know, how do I get away from it? You know, so you sense things too because you want to get away, or at least me as a kid. So, you know, that opens you up to all the other things. And along the way, I had heard about the hybridization project with the abductees. And I don't know if you guys know that, but it's really crazy. It's like, oh, the aliens, they take you and then they take your sperm and your eggs and then they make hybrids and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Now, I didn't believe that. I do now. Okay. Since I got into it and started studying it and learning stuff, and you got to get into it. If you don't get into it, it's going to be crazy. But if you start I didn't try to go into that. It just led me into that. And I remember hearing it before thinking it was crazy. And then all of a sudden I started seeing what I thought was, oh my gosh, this is real. Here's some evidence of it. Here's this and this. So I try to listen to people and just put it in the back of my head and see what happens. Right. However, there are some things that I just, I don't know. It's so far beyond my thoughts. Not that it's not real. I don't know that I'll ever be led down that path to even be a part of it. So I
do you have an example you can share with us? Like, do you have,
I can't even put it into words, you know.
I don't want you to put anybody, like anybody you've interviewed on the
spot either.
I don't want you to cross a political line with the reading community. But like, is there a general type of thing that you go, I don't know about that one?
Yeah.
Like, maybe, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah, and that's where I can't even put words to it, because I'm not sure what it is, but it's kind of, and these people have giant followings. It's something with the aliens where they are communicating all the time. It's all about love. It's all wonderful. And I'm not saying it's not. I don't know that. I haven't experienced that. I'm more on the David Jacobs side and his work. But the people that are they channel these alien. I'm not saying they don't. I don't know if it's an alien. I don't know if it's maybe an Aunt Bessie or I don't know, but they know, and they do surgeries through all that. And I'm not saying it's not the case. I can't even go there to really interview them because it's so far out to me. And I know that Boulder, Colorado it's got a ton of people like that there. That's kind of like one of their areas. And I know Gaia TV is, they're very much into those. And I just don't know enough about it with the gurus and the meditation and all that. I haven't really gone there because, you know, I want to go out and see the Bigfoot. I want to go out and see the dogman. I want to find little people and micro people, you know.
Oh, God, I don't want to do half those things. I don't want to see a dogman or a little people. They scare the hell out of me.
The other stuff is freaky to me. It's like, I just don't know enough about it.
Tell me about dogman.
I tell you, you know what? There's some people say if you ever see one, listen to Penny. She heard that. Little Yorkie, little cutie pie. Some people say that if you ever see a dog man, it's the last thing you'll ever see.
Nah.
That's what some people say because they say they'll scarf you up.
Now, they're incorrect because I've spoken to two witnesses.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, other people say they're all love and the highest of the highest, and they're the what is it? The from the Egyptian dog? Was it Anna?
Oh,
Anubaru. What is
God?
Dog?
I can't remember. But I've been studying Dogman a lot the last several years, and
yeah. And tell me.
Well, I was up Dino a lot. I just listen to podcasts and read people's stuff, and I've talked to some people. I've talked to a few eyewitnesses, and it seems like there's a couple different things going on. And I know that the main cluster of dogman sightings are within a 15-mile radius of large Indian graveyards.
Huh.
So well, I think it's partly that, and I think it's also shapeshifters like skinwalkers. I don't think they're like a viable, 24/7, 365 in this three-dimensional world. They seem to be paranormal to me. But then I listened to this God, I wish I could remember his name. I heard him on, he's been on Vic Cundish show, like the dog man.
Yeah.
Eyewitness. Anyways, the guy went throughout history and showed, just gave all these examples of people reporting dogman through history. There's more of it than Bigfoot stuff, It seems like in the old ancient texts and this and that. And then the sighting reports and the oral traditions of the tribes in the Southwest. Apparently, they started up there, like where those Ohio mounds are up in southern Canada and Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, in that zone. And they moved down. And as those tribes migrated, those tribes eventually migrated down and became the Aztecs and the Mayans. And as they came down, these things came with them. Apparently, that's what some of the tribes that were there before them said, that the dogman didn't show up until those tribes came down through there and brought them with them.
Well, do you know them to be nice or kind or mean or?
I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I've read a lot of reports, and it seems like they mostly give you a real menacing look and for the most part leave you alone. It's just like Bigfoot, but there's a lot of hype. Oh, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. I think they're even more intimidating than Bigfoot. I think they're better at making you think they're going to kill you than a Bigfoot's even good at that. But
I guarantee they are, dude. I'm scared of them now. I'm at home.
Yeah, they're a trip. I listened to one guy I found real credible that the thing grabbed his arm and yanked him and cut his arm, And then I saw pictures one time. This guy showed me pictures of his of a car. We were somewhere in.
Oh yeah, in I've seen that.
And it had. I can't remember if it was. I think it was three. There were, three were through the metal. The metal of the.
Yes.
And then there was a fourth one that was like a deep scratch through the paint into the metal.
Crazy! But, ouch.
Down the side of the car, and I was like, I mean, I know you could you could easily fake that, but this guy, I mean, he seemed truthful to me. I mean, I don't know who's going to wreck their car to house, you know, to tell strangers some crazy story.
There are some that might do that. Well, yeah,
true.
And I have heard that they're the higher than the love of the Sasquatch, and then the higher of the ancients are the Dogman. However, you know, I have heard too that this one girl that I know, she was always big into the paranormal constantly. And she's like, I would just sleep out on the floor of the woods with squatches all over the place and not have a problem. I wouldn't have a blanket or pillow. I wouldn't even care. She said, I'd feel fine. But she said, now that I know about Dogman and what I've learned, she says, even living in the suburbs or the city, she shuts her door and locks it. Ever since, as soon as the sun starts going down, she said they're all in the cities and in the suburbs as well as out in the woods. And she said they're ferocious.
Well, I listened to one guy talk on Vic's show, and he was a researcher from like the dry part of like more western Texas. And he was telling the story about this guy he knew as a young kid at 12 years old. He was with his 18-year-old sister and her boyfriend about the same age, and they drove to this abandoned church. It hadn't been abandoned that long. They didn't know why it got abandoned. It was just, and it was, everything was still in there. Like, everything was still there. And while they were in there, just poking around in the broad daylight, the kid heard something outside, looked out the window, and saw three dogmen crawl out of an old well, like those old wells that are like, you know, this, like a wishing well.
Oh, wow.
Saw them crawl out of that in the daylight.
Yeah, oh. Horrifying.
Yeah, they threw some pennies down. They threw some bad fake pennies or something down there and made a wish.
Little slugs.
Yeah, subterranean dog men, just screw that. Yeah, F that noise, man. I hate that stuff. Yeah. Hey, so do you think there's any connection between dog men in North America and like the old lycanthrope sort of stories? I'm presumably from Europe, I guess, you know, werewolves and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody out there. Paul. What's Paul's last name? Oh, I feel bad. I love him. Oh, he's a good guy for you guys to interview too. Anyway, he's out there, and every morning he sits out in this area where he believes he's on a ley line type thing, and he's sitting on an area where it's a cliff out there. But so there's water in front of him, and then there's like mountainous and flat land and everything like that. So. Forgive me not knowing all the terrain. I just know he goes out very early in the morning and he just watches and learns. And he's like in the kind of the Bermuda Triangle of that area. And he and I put him on coast, and we were talking about that. We were talking about the werewolves. And, well, of course, that's the dog man, you know, and that made total sense. Right. Here were the old stories or myths, you know, that everybody said was a myth. Maybe it's not a myth, and maybe it's not a man that turns into a wolf, or maybe it's just a wolf. And I don't know. But it talking to him, that's when I went, oh, yeah, well, that makes total sense. That is a dog man, as a werewolf.
No, as you're saying that, like, I got to wonder, where do we draw the line, though? Like, because people attribute Sasquatches as being shapeshifters, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, lycanthrope is a, you know, some werewolf thing is a shapeshifter as well. Yeah. Yeah. And these skinwalkers are also shapeshifters. Would some people, and I know there are some people out there, I think Tom Powell might fall into this category, who are going after the grand unification theory of paranormal. Well, everything's the same thing coming at you in different ways. Is that where... There's a group of people thinking that. I don't think that, obviously. I think Sasquatches are a biological thing. But like, I can see how that might be a train of thought in the weird world, you know, in which we all live, of course, that maybe it's all one thing coming at you in various flavors and various ways.
Yeah. I don't even know about shapeshifters. You hear about it all the time. But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, yeah. There's so much I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what she said.
We thought you were going to clear this all up for us.
Yeah, well, you know, it's it just keeps you wanting to hear more, right? If I do that, right? I know the secret. I'm just not telling you. No, I just don't know about that. But again, the Native Americans always talk about that, and you know, that's all easy for them to talk about. It's something normal for them to talk about those types of things. But I just don't know. That's why. I mean, I'm even amazed at what I saw, this huge head with the hair tussled and then the ears. And I had told the guy that had the relationship in that situation there, Jason Frank, he's got a book coming out soon. He's just one of the best people in the world. Y'all would love him. He brings out a full freaking kitchen up the mountain, and he's cooking all this stuff. Oh yeah. He's cooking all day long. Right. And he's bringing them in, you know, and when I said what I saw, he said, well, you saw Elvis. And he talked about Elvis. And he said that he had seen Elvis since he was like 3 foot tall. And he remembered he always had a big head. And the silhouette that he saw him, because of that, he called him Elvis. And then he said he saw him 2 years prior to when I had just seen him. And he said Elvis was 7 foot tall at that point. And so that was 2 years ago. And I just know, I remember it was this huge head. And when I was talking to Dennis Fole, he had said, Connie, you know, how do you know it's a dog man? I said, well, I just know it, because I had said to Jason, I said, Jason, I don't think that's a Sasquatch. I think that's a dog man just because of the pointy ears. And I didn't see the rest of the body or anything. I don't know if that would have mattered. I just saw the forehead and up. And, you know, when I was talking to Dennis, he said, you don't know that. He said, there's so many different looking Sasquatch out there. So, I mean, what have you guys experienced with that? Have you seen ears on the side and at the top and pointed and different size ones? And, you know, if you guys saw some of that footage from the Erickson Project, which I'm sure you did, there's a couple of them to me that look like some freaking mascot from some football, you know, local football team. And I call them like the Sasquatch Teletubby because it just doesn't look right.
Oh, female. Yeah, well, we assume the females look like that. The females have like a apple shape and the males are like an invert, like a V shape.
Oh, okay. Well, this was like this pumpkin head looking thing. Look like it just didn't look right. You can see it on the road.
That makes sense. In some areas, I think actually in Kentucky, like, you know how the word Sasquatch was coined in the 1920s and then, you know, the Bigfoot was coined in 1958. But before that, these things were still around, you know, and they had to call them something. And my understanding is that in some parts of Kentucky, one individual at least was called Pumpkinhead because it had such a weird, oversized head compared to what people thought it should look like.
Yeah, it was funky. I mean, they got 2 shots of one like that. And I just, I don't know. I mean, if it wasn't Dennis, a part of it, who I trust a lot, I would be like, come on.
I completely trust Dennis and his observational skills and his level-headedness. I completely trust Dennis. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and he's never, ever steered me wrong. So whatever Dennis tells me, you know, I'll take it to the bank. And anybody can be wrong, but I know he's not lying or exaggerating or anything like that. Right. You know?
Yeah, he was when I first saw the sparkles happening again, because we went up to that same area a second time, and we're sitting in the vehicle at that point because, you know, everybody wants to be in a tent. I'm like, yeah, I know you get sounds from the tent, but why don't you do the 360, you know, window all across the way and really be like a drive-in theater? That's what it was for me. But I pointed over to where the sparkles were. I said, look, there's the sparkles. They're happening again. And he looked out the window. He's like, I don't see anything. I'm like, no, they're all over there. Look, look, look. They're like fireflies, but they're not so that like glow, dull glow. They're like little LED. And watch, they're not just single file. They're like all within each other and high and low. What? Like that. Yes, like.
I mean, how long are they on? Are they on for like, because I mean, a firefly will stay on for 2-3 seconds.
Yeah. No, it was kind of just like on, off. On, off, but all of them were going at different times, and some were a little deeper in the woods and some were not. You know, it's almost like this electrical thing is happening, but, or static electricity or something like that. Kind of like the plankton. Yeah. Where that's so cool, that glow, but it's not as much as a glow, but more of a like little LED, like, you know, that little more of a
It's stationary, or were they moving when they were
blinking, and so you couldn't really follow one. You would just see them blink off and on, but you didn't know they were moving. It wasn't like the same blink in the same spot. And he still didn't see him. And I was like, no, they're right. You know, look, you know, keep looking. And he thought I was just nuts. And I was like, I don't know how you can't see those. And then I remember somebody telling me about the glow of Sasquatch eyes. They were like, okay, when you see eye shine, you know, I kept looking for a certain type of look. And finally someone had told me, they said this, and I know it's different ways you can see it, but he had said, okay, you know, when like a red light will kind of reflect off of a book or something, you know, I was like, yeah. He's like, it's like that. It's kind of more of a glow. Look for that. It's, you know, kind of like that. And then after that, you know, I think I had seen one like shortly after that, and it's similar to that. And I thought, oh, that must be it, you know, because I was never really looking for that. And I would have blown that off as a reflector. Just like when I lived in Florida, I thought there was a ton of reflectors that they just threw all over the freaking St. John's River. No, it was just that many gator out there. It was like, oh my gosh, stay in the boat, stay in the boat, keep your hands in the boat, keep your feet in the boat. I kept trying to get him to look at these sparkles. I was like, how, Dennis, come on. You know, they're right there. And other people saw them too. And he's like, Connie, I don't know. I don't know about this. And I said, no. And he said, you really, other people saw these? And I said, yeah. So he's looking out, okay, the side part of the window of the truck, which has a tinting on it. So he moves his head into the front of the window where there is no tinting, and he saw it. He saw them. Mm. So you got to keep that in mind too, right? You know, you got to keep that in mind.
Of course. Yeah. And did he have an explanation for it, or did he just kind of go, I don't know what that is?
No, he was, in fact, he was amazed. He said that was the first time he ever saw it. And he said that he thought maybe it was a static electricity kind of thing too. And I don't know, I've never seen a portal or not. I know you're not into that. I think that there, you know, I've heard a lot of stories, so I want to see a portal. I don't think that there can't be one. So he was kind of even looking at it that way. Maybe it's a static electricity, something's happening, maybe a portal type thing is opening, you know, whatever. We were just kind of throwing it up in the air, because that was also where it was the same area, just left of the spruce trees where the beams of light came out from whatever was behind those trees and those branches. I don't, you know, I know what I believe it would be. I would say a little saucer, but I didn't see it, you know, so it's kind of hard for me to say that, but that's what I would assume it would be. But there were lights.
Connie, if you saw a portal, would you go through it?
I would throw something in it and see what happened. And I might like put somebody else over there and tie him up and let them go. Go to the light.
Have you talked to anyone that went through a portal that actually had a witness saw them go into it? Like, have you only talked to people that say they went into one, but no one saw it?
I've heard people talk about portals, like Dr. J and up there in Ural's neck of the woods. And I've heard people talk about portals like around Mammoth Cave, and apparently huge, huge portals where they say it's the size of this gigantic, you know, wall. And they saw, I think, a cyclops come out of it. One of the older, what are the elephants?
Oh, woolly mammoth.
Yeah, woolly mammoth come out, and all these other things that, you know, are not supposed to be, but they're all coming out of this portal kind of thing. And then they'd walk into something else. And so apparently there's like a huge one at Mammoth Cave. So I've heard about them, but I've never seen one myself. And I really want to go to that area, especially on the road with Connie, because that would be, I mean, that would be so cool.
Let's go. I live right there.
Let's do it, man. Who wants to be thrown in to see what's on the other side?
I'll step in.
You will? Okay. So let me ask you guys this, because people ask me this all the time, and you guys would probably know about this, as I don't know the real stories. I've kind of heard this or that, but I don't have any specifics. So, you know, you hear people that are, I still think every entity out there, creature, being, whatever, you know, you got to be politically correct now with all this kind of stuff, but I believe that each one has its own personality, and some might be really nice and loving and caring and kind, and some may just be having a bad day. I don't know, and I want to be cautious of that, right? I'm just a little person.
All mammals are, I mean, they're mammals, and all mammals have their own personality to some degree. There's some that are more aggressive and, you know, just assholes or whatever you want to call them, and then there's others that are a lot mellower, laid back, but there's definitely ones that are more aggressive than others, and we think they have like their own little cultures, you know, like some places they vocalize more and, you know, knock less. Other places they knock more and vocalize less. It's kind of like the killer whales, like the killer whales that only eat salmon versus the killer whales that eat marine mammals.
Well, do you guys know stories where it is written down somewhere, even if it's hidden, that the Sasquatch or Dogman or any other things out there may have killed someone or hurt someone?
Yeah, well, Mark Myersell just did a great in-depth investigation. We'll hook you with that guy. He'd love to have him on his show. He's a Bigfoot historian. He found that the Mount St. Helens, you know, the Ape Canyon cabin site.
Yeah.
1924, Fred Beck and those guys got attacked.
Yeah.
He actually located that spot and brought Cliff there.
He also
looked up the Sixes River. It's a famous case from the 1880s. It was supposed to be a logging camp where the guys were killed.
Ooh.
You know that? There's also the Bauman story from Teddy Roosevelt. That's another story where a Sasquatch killed some people. The modern reports, the people who get killed don't have much to say about it afterwards, so we don't hear about that stuff.
This is true.
Where's your psychic mediums now, Connie?
Yeah, I go with the remote viewers. Well, what do you guys think of missing 411, David's work, David Politis?
I think some of those are big. I think some of those are definitely Bigfoots, but I think a lot of them aren't, and some are, who knows, but I think a few are, yeah.
I think
the ones where they talk about like the monkey man and that sort of stuff, you know, those are likely Sasquatches, I would suspect.
Well, you know, when I had done, there's a girl and it's under like, it's on Facebook group, Dog Man something. Sorry, I don't know it, but I just had joined it. And she had said she heard me telling the story on Coast where there was Elvis, who I think is a dog man just because of the ears alone, where Dennis said, well, it doesn't really mean that, though. So I'm like, ah. But and then seeing the beams of light, she had said, well, that happens a lot where the dog man and the beams of light are. You know, UFOs and dog man are always around, she had said. They're seen a lot. And I know people have said that about the Bigfoot, too. But the way the stories come across with David, it sounds like, you know, beams of light. It's like they're gone. You know, it's like a beam of light, boom, takes them, and they're gone. Then they're put somewhere else. I kind of think maybe the Bigfoot afterwards, where sometimes they find the clothes or the shoes propped up nicely. Maybe that's the Sasquatch going, hey, you know, because they're known for also gifting and little things like that. Maybe they know where you're going to walk, and they put the stuff there to say, well, at least here's what's left, or even if it's a body. I think they're kind of on the nice side of that. Maybe the monkey man that people are saying they see at that point, maybe that's more of a dog man, because it's really just the placement of the ears and the snout, and depending on which way they're looking, right? You might think it's a Sasquatch now. I don't know.
And they have a tail.
Oh, they got a tail? Oh, they got tail. Well, there's some humans that got tails, which is crazy, but they do.
That's true. What's it called? What's it called, Cliff? A vestigial tail?
Probably. That sounds about right.
He winked at me on Match, and then his tail wagged. Oh, no. Gross. So anyway, sorry if you have a tail out there. I'm sorry. Well, before you guys wrap it up here, when you guys do, let me ask you, what else do you guys have going on? Because I've heard some, first of all, Cliff, you do expeditions as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've been running a few every summer. Bobo is a guest on them. I've had Dr. Meldrum out as a guest as well. And I take a limited load of participants. So you're not going to go on some trip with me with like 30 or 40 other people. I limit it to about 10 or 12. And I do, I also run it through the recreational permit from Mountain Hood National Forest. So I do it in conjunction with the National Forest. So the National Forest gets its taxes and whatever. Because, you know, nowadays it's about the only thing I'm happy that my taxes are going for is to help out the National Forest in some way. Yeah, so I've been doing that every summer, and I'll have a couple more next summer as well. You know, doing the museum. I'm doing a lot of speaking events and whatnot, just trying to keep my sanity.
That's cool. Can we do an On the Road with Connie at your place in the future?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sure. Okay. If you're out through the side of the continent, just let me know. We'll figure something out.
Okay. I think that's a cool area. It's so mystical and magical looking, the woods there. It's just so storybook-like. Now, Bobo, you guys have this podcast thing. This is all brand new.
Yeah, I've done 13 have aired, and we've got about 20 done total. So we got some in the can. We got you. Now we'll probably bump you up the list. I'll get you out sooner than some of the other ones.
Woohoo! Yay!
But, yeah, we just started this in May, I think. Yeah, it's brand new pretty much.
So what else are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep it as a podcast? Because that, by the way, if you're that busy, that's a pretty easy thing. And it's also very, great content, of course.
Yeah, I just got back from Tennessee. I was out there at some gig this past weekend in Gatlinburg, and I'm always taken aback in a way that so many people are listening to the podcast and have so many positive things to say. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess I'm not talking to the right people, or but I haven't heard anything negative yet, which is kind of nice.
That is nice. Well, I think I think you guys are extremely well liked, and you're after, they got the same heart as you guys, and they feel really relatable with you guys. And I'm not just talking about the Finding Bigfoot group. I don't know where the other two ever are. I only heard about Moneymaker again through Dennis, running that expedition. And I know nothing about Renee. I don't know. So I'm just thinking it's just you two guys. I think people just love you guys. That's where they found you. And they want to stick around with you, I think that's that's the best compliment of all.
That was a great compliment. Thank you.
It is.
You're welcome.
But, I guess I'm surprised that I haven't heard anything negative, because I heard a fair amount of negative stuff about Finding Bigfoot, which I always thought was peculiar. That you could always just turn it off and not watch it, right? But but these people would watch it every week and complain and bitch and moan about everything, and it's just like, you can turn it off. Yeah, thanks for watching. Yeah, and then not only do they watch a show that they apparently absolutely hate, but they go through the effort of finding my email and then spending multiple paragraph emails to me about what an idiot I am and how much they hate the show and all this other stuff. And so I guess, being on a smaller sort of thing like a podcast where we have, 5,000 or 6,000 listeners versus, something on Animal Planet, maybe that's what surprises me. It's like all the nice stuff that's coming my way. And maybe a lot of those haters have realized that they just don't have to listen.
I don't understand how they take all this energy just to hate you and to go through all that trouble to make sure they let you know they hate you.
It takes a lot of energy, right? A lot.
It does.
I don't agree with, off the top of my head, Lou Dobbs or somebody like that. Generally, he's on the different side of the political spectrum than I am. But that's fine. We all have our own perspectives. I don't really care what he thinks at the end of the day. I'm not going to go search him out and then work up my and just get all frothy about it and send them emails explaining in detail with bad punctuation about what an idiot he is. And it's like, that just seems like so much effort for something that may not be worth it.
The first time I was on Coast, I actually did it out of Philly. I was living in Philly at the time. So I did it out of a Philly station. And before I even went on the air, before anybody even heard me, there were all these horrible, hey, she's terrible, she sounds, it was just all this hate stuff. I wasn't even on the air yet. And somebody had pointed that out to me, one of the producers. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, get ready for hate mail. That's just going to happen. And I'm like, no, I've always done national TV work or radio work, but there wasn't ever an area where people could, all these live chats now and all these forums and all these things where they can go and hate you and actually reach you. Before, they would have to actually mail something in the snail mail. And that's rare when somebody would do that. But it was hours before I was ever on. They already hated me. Gosh.
You knew it was coming.
That's right.
They could see the future.
Before we lose you, I just want to ask you what was your first? Well, you grew up in a haunted house.
Yeah,
that's more paranormal. But for what was your first love in cryptids? Was it Loch Ness or what got you into the cryptid thing? the $6 million man Bigfoot episode.
I remember that. I was really, really, really tiny when that show was on, though. So, you know, it was, I don't remember much because I was really younger than you all probably. But, you know, I was always open to whatever led next. And, at one point I was actually, this is kind of cool story, actually. You guys know the movie Big Blockbuster Poltergeist?
Yeah,
sure. Well,
mm-hmm. One of the writers is Mark Victor, and Mark and I had got connected with Mark, and I guess I was I pitched Mark a remote viewing movie, and to shoot it, and he and I actually went to Lynn Buchanan's house. He was one of the writers, and then he later produced. He was one of the directors, I think, for the next ones that happened along the way. But so he was totally a part of Poltergeist. And we, you know, we did go to Lynn Buchanan's house and he learned remote viewing because I wanted him to understand how I was wanting the film to be shot. You know, it was really cool. I mean, I'm like going, this is really cool. I'm getting this film guy over here. He's going to see how remote viewers see it in the head. And I'm trying to get him to put a camera in the head. So when he shoots the shot, people know it's inside the head, the mind of the psychic spy. So anyway, all that was kind of cool. And so I ended up, he started something, called Paranormal World, and there was another name too, and it's all internet based, and it was where it was a membership based where you go and got paranormal documentaries and any types of shows. So he was building that, and at one point he said, hey, find me some documentaries and I'll give you this amount of money, you know, if it goes on. So that was cool. I was like, yeah. So I started getting some of the ones that we all know out there. And he was actually pleased. He thought, well, you got some good ones here. I'm like, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do, right? However, as I started looking more into these documentaries to get to him so I could, you know, get a little commission and go on. And it was fun. I loved it. I loved being a part of that. Who didn't like that? And at one point, somebody called me about Bigfoot. And I said, okay. Never thought about that. Just never thought about it before. Didn't really care much for Loch Ness. You know, I can, that's not hard for me to not believe or anything. Okay. I don't like being in the water anyway like that. I love the water, but I don't like murky waters where I don't know what is around me. So this Bigfoot thing was really cool. However, it was very amateurish. And there were quite a few of those. And I said to Mark, I said, Mark, listen, you're on the internet now. You got to have part of the platform where it's amateurs. And he goes, no, never, never, never. And I'm like, no. This is what people watch now. This is a YouTube-like thing. This is what people watch. These are the real deals. People putting these things together. You got to watch it. And he didn't like it at first, but I think later on he did. He realized how much, you know, YouTube had made a difference with everything. It didn't have to be a $20 million freaking Hollywood show, right? People don't care about that anymore, especially people in the genre of the paranormal world. They want to see the real stuff. So that's how I got into it, because they had invited me to their area in Alabama, and I had experiences that very first night. And somebody, you know, there are a couple of people mad there, because at least one that I know of that was pretty upset because they had never had experiences in all their lives, and they've been doing it for a long time. And I know a lot of people are like that. And it was amazing. So when that happens that quickly, you know, you're in.
Right. Well, how do we know you weren't misinterpreting something on your first night?
Oh, man, because, you know, when you are always being – you teach yourself to be aware of something in the room with you that you don't know, you learn – and then remote viewing teaches you ambiance. So you can walk into another room and feel what's in there, into the next hallway, and it's a whole nother vibe, right? So you're constantly feeling what's around you and trying to pick up to where Lynn would say that he's so good that he can sit there in a room and he can tell you when a female walks in, or a male, whoever the next person is that walks in, he could tell you their age, the color of their hair, if they're male or female, sometimes their weight, different things like that. So he's, you know, you can get it to be that good. And because I had really, as a kid, was so afraid of this ghost that I knew exactly where it was, when it was, so I could be on the other side of the house, you know. So you learn that for safety reasons. So I was pretty good at it. But you notice things too. Okay, so I had learned along the way, and it's something that I want to get back to with Cliff because he said something about this before, and I want to ask him this again. So remind me to ask you something that you had said before. But I was laying in one of those campers where they, you know, they pull out on both sides and there's a bed on both sides.
Right.
And I had been taught a little bit about all this stuff, you know, before they even let me go there. And I had to be quiet about it and all this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I was laying there. I was probably the last one to go to sleep. Maybe I was maybe 45 minutes into sleep or something like that. And it has been a long couple of days already. And there, you know, I just should have been conked out. But I was laying on my side, curled up, and all of a sudden I was awake. And I noticed it. And I've taught myself, notice. Always notice before you do anything. And I noticed that and I asked myself this. I said, why does every cell in my body feel fantastic? I feel great. I feel wide awake. I feel alert. I feel awesome. What is the deal? And I just noticed that. I didn't know to connect it to anything or if it was connected to anything. I just knew that I felt great and I should not have. And then
vodka.
None of that either, darn it. But then the camper shook. And I went, whoa, what was that? You know? And it just shook. So maybe it was the guy on the other side. And then it shook again and I went, whoa. Now that was a shake and that came from below. And I was like, okay. And I thought, I'm going to slowly turn over to the right because I'm scared out of my mind in the middle of the woods where there apparently are two tribes out there. And so I tried to slide over and see the person on the other side to see if they're not moving around. And that's what's going on. But it was very intentional. It seemed very purposeful. You know, and these are some of the things you pick up with remote viewing. So you guys, you need to do that because I think you would really learn a lot about, you know, it really help you in the future for sure on these types of things, I think. So anyway, I felt like it had a purpose. So I lay over on the other side and I even said to myself, okay, I'm watching this guy. I'm going to see if it happens again. And I'll see if it happens maybe even from the other side. This is in my head. Lo and behold, it happened a third time from the other side. And that guy didn't move. And the push was from the other side. And it happened four times. And by the way, there wasn't one twig that cracked. There wasn't one branch that was broken. There was nothing but foliage out. And I think it was a time of the season where, you know, you're in the middle of the woods. You just kind of push everything out of the way, and then you put your campers and stuff there, right? So you didn't even hear anything. One of my friends out in Canada said, oh, it's a bear. I'm like, no, you would have heard that thing walking around. Then that's when I got the mind speak, and you know, and I had been studying the aliens, right? So I'm comparing what everybody's saying about the Sasquatch to the aliens, because they all say aliens, telepathy. Well, mind speak with the Bigfoot. They can zap you and numb you. Well, that's what they do in the Bigfoot or in the UFO world too. There's so many similarities. I couldn't believe just had different names that were attached to that, to them. And I was basically told that I could unzip that part of the tent and I would see this thing that was giving me the message of seeing it. And I had said, oh no, I'm trying to recollect it now, but, and it said to me, I wasn't ready for this. I should know it though, but it was like, just unzip it. And I said, no, I'm not ready for that yet. And it said something like, no, it said exactly, well, isn't this what you came for? I mean, I remember that plain as day. And I was like, yeah, but I'm just not ready to see it yet. That's when I said that. And it said, why, I guess. And I was like, you know, maybe I just feel so bad about it now because I wish I would have done it, but I was scared. I grew up watching King Kong at the drive-in theaters in black and white when I was a little tiny tyke, and it scared me to death as a little kid. And so that's really kind of all I thought about. And I've had nightmares about that. And so I just thought this is the closest thing to King Kong, right? Not trying to be mean or anything. I just learned about the Bigfoot at that point. And so I said, I'm just not ready to see that yet and to think about that all the time. And it let me go. It just kind of like released me. But I think that it is what woke me and had my body feeling wonderful. When those beams of light were on me, or the one beam of light was on me, I felt great. I wasn't cold, and it was 25 degrees. I wasn't cold. I wasn't scared. I wasn't anything. I was just there. So I think that these different beings know how to, absolutely, I believe they know how to control us. They know how to put us in some sort of, they can turn us off and on. I absolutely believe that with all my heart. I know that's crazy, but when you're in it, you're like, oh my gosh, how come I didn't feel the weather? I didn't notice how cold it was. How come I wasn't afraid? How come I felt happy? How come my whole body felt wonderful? And I noticed that. And if you keep that in mind, if that situation happens to you, and then notice too, I can move my eyes, but I can't move my body. However, I can move my torso. Kind of funky, but it's what I found out.
That's a trip.
Yeah. Yeah. So
shut Cliff up with that.
Cliff's like, well, now I don't really want to take her at all.
No. Because you said something key in there too. Because you know, I've spoken to a lot of witnesses in my life, and many of these witnesses have stories about this mind talk sort of stuff, mind speak stuff in their head. Yeah. But the thing is, and you said something really key to what I think is going on here, is that, like, you know, you notice that the alien thing.
This is it. This is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, the aliens in your head and the Bigfoots in your head are all saying the same thing. And you even earlier in the same conversation, you mentioned something about the you're not sold on the people who, like, the peace, love sort of in your head sort of messages from those other people. Right.
Oh, I think there's messages, but I don't know about,
But I think all those things are tying together because I've spoken to a fair number of witnesses that have these voices in their head, and I'm convinced they're not lying. But the thing is, all of them attribute it to Sasquatches, and very few, if any, have direct correlation between Sasquatches and that. Most of the people are out there looking for Bigfoot, and they get weird messages, therefore they associate it with Bigfoot. So I started like asking various witnesses and whatever else, from various facets, you know, because what I notice is that the messages are the same. You know, it's always the same sort of thing, like you're messing up the planet, peace, you know, you better like get your act together, you know, all that sort of stuff, like a general kind of hippie-esque sort of message. So I started asking around, and one witness that I spoke to said that he asked the voices. This guy was in aliens at the time, and he was convinced aliens were talking to him, right? He asked the aliens, or these voices rather, so are you alien? And the voices replied, alien? Sure. I'm not from your planet, that's for sure. If aliens doesn't scare you, then sure, I'm an alien. And, yeah. and I think that's what's going on with this thing, you know, is because I think that these, whatever that is, and I don't really have a good, you know, hypothesis for what that stuff is, even though I think it's probably out there and it's really happening. I think that whatever those voices are, whatever entity or entities, or even if you're just talking at the back of your own head, I don't know what it is, but I think that those things are more than happy to approach anyone in the way that is going to scare them the least. And that's why you get people talking to Bigfoots in the people have a Bigfoots in their head talking to them. That's why you get aliens in people's heads talking to them. That's why you get angels or God in people's heads talking to them, is because whatever they're into or they're least afraid of or whatever, I think that those things are just happy to oblige and approach in that way so it doesn't scare the willies out of them.
Now, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about, because that's what we said at your – that's what we were talking about at your place, at that barbecue, your old place. You and that's what I wanted to know from you is, what did you think it was? You don't know what it is, but you think it is a constant out there.
I think it's there. And I'll tell you what, man, I think it has to do with our physiology and the chemistry of our body, because in my research on this sort of thing, once I started digging more deeply, I found a huge correlation between after-death experiences or near-death experiences, that sort of thing. You know, people hovering above their body on the operating table and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they also come back with the same message, right? And then when I was going down those avenues, that's when I discovered this whole thing about DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which is the most potent psychedelic known to humans, okay? The psychedelic in the same sort of way as like psilocybin or LSD, even though LSD and, you know, all those other things are in a different family of chemicals. But the thing that's special about DMT, which, by the way, I've never done. I just want to let everybody know. I'm not advocating for drug use or anything like that. But the deal with the special thing about DMT is that it has started to be experimented on by scientists in the United States starting in the early 1990s, after all psychedelics became illegal in 1970 or 69 or 71, whatever that was. Science wasn't allowed to do any experimentation with them at all. Until 1992 or something like that. But they started doing experiments on DMT because, and this is key here, it's endogenous. It is inside all of our bodies right now. Like if a police officer came in and tested your body right now, you would go to jail because there's enough DMT in your system to arrest you. It's in all mammals and most plants. So this guy, his name is Richard Strassman, I think his name is Dr. Richard Strassman. He got permission to start doing experiments on DMT. And by the way, I came upon this through this avenue, you know, the Bigfoot voices in the head, aliens, near-death experiences, angels, all that other stuff, voices in your head. And it led me here. And it turns out that this guy did a 4 or 5 year study or something like that. And he eventually quit the study. This is a scientist, by the way. I think a psychologist, if I remember right. This is a scientist who did this study with the permission of the government, et cetera. He eventually quit the study for several reasons, one of which was something like almost 40% of his test subjects came back from these psychedelic trips convinced they had spoken to non-human entities. And they also had the same messages as the people who experienced these other non-human intelligences, whether it's they think it's a Bigfoot or an alien or an angel or God or whatever, near-death experiences. I think it's all the same thing, and I think that there's a chemical catalyst that is indigenous to our body that enables that. And people who experience this mind talk and stuff like that probably just have a slightly different tweak to their physiology that enables that chemical to connect, because under most circumstances, the DMT that is coursing through all of our blood right now can't connect to the synapses where they belong, because clearly it's not a good evolutionary strategy to be twisted out on a psychedelic, right?
So you don't think people are faking it. You think they just have a different physiology where they can hear it.
I don't know if I think that, but I think that's a very real possibility. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are lying or faking it. Sure, some people are, and some people are crazy too on top of it. But I also think that there's a lot of honest, just sincere people that weird things happen to, and there's a perfectly normal chemical physiological explanation for it, and this might be it.
Well, that's what we had talked about it, and you had said you thought it was one thing. And I had said that I had heard, you know, it's hard to say these things because, it's always, oh, those are the crackpot people that hear these voices. It's not I hear voices in my head. It's not like that. But I have heard voices in my head. It doesn't come out right, does it? For a long time of my life. But it was always, it wasn't like, you know, the parting of the seas or anything like that. It was never anything like that. It was always something like, hey, you know, I would be running late to something and it would tell me to go left and I would go left and I got right there in plenty of time. Or something would say, hey, go back and get this, things like that, where it wasn't me. It was not me. I was saying no to it. And in fact, I woke up enough when I was learning to be conscious of listen to what what you hear, what you're feeling, what your body's doing. That's where a lot of times I would say no. Whenever you hear a thought in your head and you say no to it, stop, because you wouldn't say no to your own thought. So go back and go, you know what, just do it. Or at least recognize what you're saying no to and see what would have happened if you did it the other way. Well, you had asked me, when we were talking about this, you had asked me about that. And you had said you thought it was one thing, kind of basically. And you said, and I said, well, no, this was the Bigfoot talking. I know it was. And you were like, well, how do you know that? You like threw it right at me. I thought that's where you were talking about. You won't like me because I'm going to throw it at you, woman. So you did. You threw it right at me. You were like a half a foot away. And you're like, yeah, well, how did you know that? And it was because they were taught. I knew it was different from what the other voice is along the way, which, by the way, I grew up Christian in Kentucky. It was the Holy Spirit to me, right? So it's always whatever you want to put it to be, what you grew up, right? Your environment, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
one of those right. Dudes thought it was a burning bush, right? Yeah, there's all sorts of voices talking to all sorts of people.
That was really good, though.
Well, check this out. Rene Descartes, for example. Rene Descartes, who's like basically the father of all modern science, when he was an 18 or 19 year old guy, he was marching back for some war in Prague, and he was visited by angels that told him in a dream, that the mastery of nature will go through numbers and measure. So basically, he was visited by these incorporeal voices that gave him this idea that if we measure things and use math, we can figure science out. The gift of science to humanity was literally through one of these voices in somebody's head that he attributed to angels, because that's the paradigm he lived in.
Right.
Alfred Wallace, the co-discoverer of evolution, he was also visited by something while he was in the heights of this terrible tropical fever down in Indonesia, I believe, that gave him the idea of evolution. And he discovered it at the same time as Darwin. In fact, he wrote letters to Darwin saying, you've been talking about something like this too, and this is what I think. And Darwin said, holy crap, the guy scooped me. But again, same time, same place, or not, it was the same planet, not the same place, but same time, this thing was happening. And that guy was also visited by a vision during his crazy, malaria driven fever that he was.
Well, so that was demonic, because that's not real. Evolution is just not real.
You know what? I know people who are really into, like, oh, that's. Well, he takes pictures, and these guys take pictures, and he finds demons in it all the time.
Yeah,
and that's his reality. Right. And sure, and when he hears voices, he thinks they're demons, right? We all have our paradigms, right? And,
or genies.
Yeah, genies. Another one. Yeah.
Well, when you had asked me that about, you said, how do you know it was the Bigfoot, not just that voice, that one voice? And I said, well, they actually said, like later the next day after I didn't put this together until later. It was the next day or the next night or two nights from there, but it was the same weekend. We were in another area. We had all sorts of different things happening, and I was exhausted from it. I was like, oh, this is too much. Oh, I got to get back to camp. But I was in the vehicle waiting for these two guys to hit an area, and then they were going to come back in. And I was sitting there I was debating, oh, do I keep the car on? Are they going to come up to me, or do I keep it off? How do I keep them away from me? You know, I was thinking, I'm exhausted. I don't want them walking up to me. I've seen all those different documentaries where people, are on the side of the road because of their car, some car problem, and they got to wait till the morning, and then there's a Sasquatch and looking at them, and even though that's, I think, the best way to do it too. But I just wasn't ready at that point. It was brand new. It was my first weekend. But I had said, as I was waiting for them, I said, man, I wonder why they hide from us. Wonder why they hide from us, I said that in my head. I got an answer. And it was as if this thing was right. And I felt like it was right off to the right and to the side a little bit in the weeds. And it said, because your face, because our face frightens you, and that makes us sad. And that's where, that came from the personality of that Sasquatch. It was not the voice that I've heard before that says, hey, go take a ride over here and hurry up and get to your meeting. it was something different. So I don't believe that they're that part of that one voice. I think they have their own.
Yeah, so possibly. Yeah. Although, to be fair, you still don't know that was a Sasquatch.
Well, when I had my first Bigfoot encounter, Clip knows this story, he's heard it a bunch of times. When I got charged by them, they ran in the bush, one came behind me and started growling. when I went to go, I was thinking, okay, Bo, can you, because I was so, I started getting so nervous and started growling 5 feet behind me, 10 feet in the air. And I was so scared. I go, all right, I'm going to get together and turn around and take a picture. I had a disposable 35 millimeter, one of those cardboard cameras with a flash.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started to move just a little bit, and I was telling myself, okay, take the picture, take the picture. I got the loudest, clearest voice in my head saying, if you take my picture, I'm going to kill you and they'll never find your body.
Whoa. See, they hear your thoughts. I'm absolutely convinced.
But, you know, well, Boba,
if they're telepathic, why do they do knocks and whistles and stuff like that? Why would to communicate with each other? Why wouldn't they just always be telepathic? Why would they scream to find each other? You know, wouldn't they just use telepathy?
Maybe it only goes so far.
Well, you know, remember, Bobo,
maybe there's a range.
When we were in Australia, we asked the Aboriginal folks, the native folks down there, like, hey, when you see a Sasquatch, is anybody down – or a Yowie, rather, does anybody down here ever report, like, you hear voices in your head, you know, exactly what he's thinking, you know, like he's giving you messages inside your head. And the guys down there, the native folks, were going, well, yeah, but your dog can do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I know that can do that with dogs and cats and everything. I wish I could do that. That's so cool. But you know what? I think these things know how to turn it off and on. I just do. I know that's crazy, but that's just what I picked up along the way because I think they turn it off and on. At least they know how to.
A lot remains to be seen, you know, and I'm wide open to it, but I'll tell you, it's never happened to me, man.
Because they don't want to talk to you. They say, he's right. We don't like him. He's too skeptical.
Well, maybe. Apparently, some of the like self-righteous tell me that I'm spiritually constipated, but I think that's – I think that's a judgment that reflects upon themselves better than me.
Oh. So let me ask, when you were talking about this last place you went with the Yowies, where was that?
It was Australia.
Where was it that Bobes you threw up? And they had it on camera. Why did they put it on camera? Nepal. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bob's is a big
to put that on camera.
Oh, you have to. It's TV, you know.
That's true. It was pretty good, but it was like, oh.
Yeah, Bobo's a big fan of street food. I'm surprised that's the only time he's vomited on camera, you know.
Oh, poor Bobo. Oh. I feel so bad for you. I did.
I was pretty miserable for it. You know, that was the only night investigation I ever missed was that night, and I missed a pretty memorable one, or I guess probably missed the best one to miss because you guys got caught in the biggest downpour ever just about.
Oh, it's terrible, terrible. But, you know, that might have been a little bit of altitude sickness too because I think we're at 8,400 feet at that point. That's pretty high up.
Oh, yeah, I think it was more the raw sewage on the floor of the airport where I people.
Yeah, that might be it too. Yeah, 3 long days in the Kathmandu airport will make anybody vomit eventually, even the Bobes.
So what's going on, man? I think we should all do a show. I think we should all be doing a show next. Forget, you know, let's do it. Let's do it. I think we all have something in the works, but you know how that goes. You never know if it's going to.
Yeah, almost nothing ever happens. So you got to make it happen yourself.
Well, thank you, Connie. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. You guys are awesome.
It's great to hang out with you again. It's been too long.
Thanks. And same with you guys. So we'll do it more often. Thanks, you guys, for having me on your show.
Thank you.
Tom. We'll talk to y'all later.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye, Connie.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bigfoot and Beyond. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe to Bigfoot and Beyond wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bigfoot and Beyond Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Bigfoot and Beyond, that's an N in the middle, and tweet us your thoughts and questions with the hashtag Bigfoot and Beyond.